Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's going on, T?
What is going on? Nothing much, Todd. I was trying to beat you to saying what is going on, but how are you doing, man?
Good. You look so, you're always professional with the headphones. That's
I where try to be. Yeah. One of us needs to be professional here. Yeah. So anyways,
that's as much as I'm going to go.
We are live, of course, on Facebook and YouTube, but you may be listening to us via the podcast. If you are, we thank you for joining us and listening in. What we do here on the Power of Love Show is we do shows where we talk about grief. We talk about, you know, trying to inspire. We try to inspire you, the listener or the viewer, to live your best life after a difficult grief. And what we do is we have all types of guests that can come and share their story and give advice on how to heal healthily and properly. And every now and then we will do a show solo. And today is one of those days where we are doing a show just, would it still be called solo if there's two of us? But solo's the idea. I don't know. Well, we'll do it as a duo. How about that? Before we get going on what we're going to discuss, of course, it's going to be some type of grief related topic. We have a disclaimer to do or to read, and that is that we are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. Mm-hmm. We like to share our opinions in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through, saying that if you need help, professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please do not just rely on us. If this is your first time learning about our foundation or even us, we encourage you to go visit our website at www.ddjf.org. Obviously, it's the letters for the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation. So once again, it's www.ddjf.org. On the website, you can see all we do. You can learn about who we are, not just us two, but our entire board. And you could see what we're trying to do to make the world a better place.
Yep.
Obviously, you can also donate there at our website, and you can also donate on our Facebook page. So if you can't donate, just spreading the word helps us out and helps the healing community and the talk on grief get further along, which is our whole intent and goal.
Exactly.
Taj Jackson, I think we still should just discuss quickly about our week, and then we can go right into this special show we have lined up.
Honestly, I don't remember. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I can say is just 3 days ago, Uncle Michael is the death anniversary of Uncle Michael's passing. And I will say this, I, for the longest time, always struggled with that day and obviously mom's death anniversary date as well. And I don't want to say always, but I feel like I've been giving you credit lately because you've helped me change my perception on what that day should be about. And the idea of celebrating your loved one on that day has made a difference for me and has helped make the day a celebratory day instead of one where it's just, you know, littered with grief and sadness. So yeah. I appreciate you and influencing me to look at certain dates in a more positive way or a more happy placed way. And I guess I'll just invite you to elaborate on what your thoughts regarding that are.
Well, it's funny because I felt like this year is the year I did the least. Normally I do a lot during that day and try to do a lot in there, and it's not that the healing has happened or anything like that. It was just that for me, I always counterbalance sadness with happiness in a way, and celebrating someone makes me happy in that way, especially if the person deserves it. So I I did post on the day, you know, very late, but I did post on the day, and I just put one word, irreplaceable, because that's the word I felt he was in that. But normally I would have spent hours thinking about what to say, what to not say, trying to condense everything into a short, you know, span. But this time around, I just, it just, that one word came to me, and it was one picture. And I honestly, for me, just remembering, and I'm not even just saying with Uncle Mike, I'm saying in general, any, when you lose someone that's so important to you, they are irreplaceable. And they are someone that you have this big hole in your heart, that grief, you're going to live with the grief. It's not going to be replaced. It's not going to be covered up. It's going to be that big hole there. And it's just, you're going to have to live with that big hole. And that's kind of what you do as a grief survivor, is you figure out how to live with that hole. It's like having an injury and having, knowing how to live with that injury. And that. And so I commend you, because you did, you know, you've picked up that kind of torch and done the celebratory thing, because it's so healthy and it's so helpful. Because
it is.
Either you're going to be mourning someone or you're going to be celebrating someone. It's the opposite ends of the spectrum. And I always love doing opposite ends of the spectrum, because you can't go midway in there. If you do something, it's like it pulls you completely one way or the other.
Well, I really like your analogy of the injury, because as an athlete, and for anyone who played sports, learning that if you have a relatively serious injury, it's something you kind of have to learn how to perform with, or how to deal with, as you continue performing, as you continue playing whatever sport or whatever, running, whatever it is you're doing. I think that's a great analogy, because that is how grief is. It's one of those things that it's now part of your DNA, or part of who you are, as a part of every aspect of what of your life. Like an injury, a bad ankle injury or bad knee injury, is part of who you are going forward as an athlete. So I think that's a very strong comparison, and one that kind of can, for those who haven't experienced that serious grief, can maybe hold on to as a comparison. And I think the last thing I want to say on this is that I think it's the healthiest way to deal with it. I think so often we're trying to ignore or wash away a loss or grief, when if we can accept it and learn from it and talk about it and be open about it, we can deal with it a lot better. So yeah, it's taken time to get to this position too. I think one of the biggest things for me was doing this show and hearing from all these experts and people who have dealt with loss, how they've done it. This isn't something that you just get born into an understanding. You have to go through it and you have to learn. And that's why for us, we love doing the show, because we feel like we're making that easier for you all out there.
And it's not a one size fit all either. That's the biggest lesson I learned, was that everyone goes through grief differently. Everyone grieves differently. So you really do have to experience everything, or hear from every kind of different angle, so that you know, oh, I'm more of that, or I'm more of that, you know, in that way. And that was kind of the way me, you, and Terrell grieved. We grieved completely different, and still do. We have a very similar, you know, circumstance, but we grieve differently at times. But yeah.
On today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we are going to share an article from the outlet What's Your Grief? The team behind What's Your Grief works diligently to provide a wealth of resources for those of us looking for support in the grief space.
Oh, wow.
You can read their extensive catalog of impactful articles on the topic of grief by visiting their website, whatsyourgrief.com. And keep up with all they are doing to support the grief community by following along on Instagram and Facebook, which is at What's Your Grief. So let's see. I wanted to see if we had it spelled out. We do not. So I'll keep it moving. The article we are going to share and discuss today is entitled How Pre-Existing Grief Assumptions Can Make Grief Worse. This article was written by mental health blogger and What's Your Grief's program director and co-founder, Eleanor Haley. There it is. Article, how pre-existing grief assumptions can make grief worse. Without further ado, let's dive in to learn more. Now, you don't know what it's like to grieve for someone significant until you're in the depths of it yourself. It's one of those experiences you can only know once you get there, which makes it all the more intimidating. That said, it's common for people to have ideas about what they think it's like. From our first exposure to loss, we naturally begin to build a conceptualization of what we grieve, what we believe grief must be like. And depending on what we're observed and learned, our assumption can run the gamut from relatively true and accurate to flat out grief myths. So the first question I have is, where do our assumptions about grief come from? So Taj, we'll take a little mini, a minute or so to decide or to answer that question. Where do our assumptions about grief come from? What do you think?
Our assumptions about grief come from?
Yes.
Probably, I mean, a lot of it, if you're if you've not experienced it, would come from probably something you saw on TV or a movie, maybe, would be kind of my guess in that, or a parent or a relative. When you're so young, you don't realize that a grandparent or a great-grandparent had died and you don't understand the significance of it, but you see your parent sad or your grandparent sad. You know, that aspect of it. So, but I would say entertainment first in that way, because if you haven't grieved it, you would see it on TV or in the theater.
Great response, Taj. I'm going to add to it. But before I do so, I want to just encourage those who are watching live via Facebook or YouTube to leave a comment too, if you want to participate in what we'll pull up some of the comments too. First question is, where do our assumptions about grief come from? So people don't sit down, crack open a book and say, today I'm going to form my attitudes about grief. Rather, our attitudes and beliefs about loss, along with countless other human experiences, start to take shape at an early age. As humans, we acquire much of the knowledge we have about the world and the people in it through observing others. So like Taj was saying, film and movie, but also obviously relatives, close relatives. You're often learning through observing without even realizing it. This kind of learning is extremely useful, but has limitations because it can sometimes lead to incorrect assumptions about people and experiences. You may be especially likely to form an incomplete or an inaccurate picture when something is as complex as grief. This leads us to incorrect assumptions about grief. Many people cite televisions or movies as their first exposure to grief and loss at a young age. Taj mentioned this as well. But finally, let's pull back and look at the bigger social picture. What messages does our society send us about grief and loss? Unfortunately, grief myths are pervasive in our societal understanding of life after loss and include the ideas that grief follows a set of stages, which in reality, it does not. It ends in a place of acceptance when in reality, grief does not have a finite endpoint. And some people think it requires a person to let go of the past and the person who died, which in reality, they obviously will not. You may be wondering, how do assumptions about grief impact the experience of grief? People often feel frustrated by the pressure others put on them when they're grieving, but overlook the unfair pressures they put on themselves about how they should be grieving and coping. One main reason a person might assess themselves as doing things wrong is that they've entered the experience with assumptions about how things will be, only to find they're far different than they imagined. And rather than labeling their pre-existing beliefs wrong, they label their own experience and responses as abnormal. Why would anyone do that to themselves, you might ask? Well, it turns out humans are pretty protective of their fundamental assumptions about the world. And they will try and try again to fit their experiences into their pre-existing framework before stepping back and saying, okay, I need to adjust my understanding of this. I think this is all very important stuff, because let's take grief out of it. Let's not even talk about grief. I think it was with Francis, but someone I was just talking about how we have such a desire to be right. And it's not necessarily just for pride or ego. It's a sense of comfortability. It's a sense of feeling that if we are right, that means we're understanding and everything's going as planned. It's when we're wrong, we have to adjust. Again, forget the ego, the pride. It hurts to be wrong. It hurts to say I made a mistake, whatever. But the idea that you are wrong means that you're not as stable with where your footing is in this world. Ooh. And therefore, oh, it sounds like I'm educating you, Tajar.
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay. Don't be afraid to say so if publicly. I know you're going to call. I know you're going to call me after the show and say, "Man, you are kicking some serious knowledge."
You dropped some really knowledge bombs there.
I know that phone call's coming, but you could say it now and then just save us the phone call. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to make is, I love this point because I truly feel that's a serious thing. And if we're learning at a young age what grief is like through TV, movies, or even what relatives go through or what relatives say to us, we may not be getting the full, correct, true picture of not only what grief is, but how to handle it. And I think that's a very powerful concept that we all can get better at as a society. So, Taj, before I continue on, though, I would love to get any feedback anything you want to add.
Just in terms of what you're saying, yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the TV and film things of it being inconsistent and 99% wrong, usually, in terms of how people grieve. And it is, that was interesting when you said, like, you know, a lot of it is about moving on and, you know, and you don't move on. You navigate through, you don't move on through your grief in that way. And so that is one of the things I'd bring up. The other thing I would bring up is I learned, you know, as we were talking and you brought up Uncle Michael and the date, he was just a person that had such a different, unique, I mean, we would watch stuff on TV and he'd start, if it was something that was sad or if it was about people being hurt or, you know, or starving or whatever, he would start crying. Mm-hmm. And I would always measure that as, why don't I feel like that? Like, why don't I have that same? So why am I not crying in that way? And I just realized you can't judge yourself off of someone else in terms of where they're at in that way, the knowledge that he had, the experience he had in that way. Now, as I get older, I can understand certain things better. But as a kid, I was just like, I'm not connected like that. I don't get that. You know, I understand it's very sad and I want to do something, but I'm not crying in that way. And so when you said you learn stuff through family members or older people as well, you really do. You learn that judgment. And when mom passed and I didn't cry that much, I always felt something was wrong, but I also felt like it will come, you know, eventually. And it just kept getting pushed down the road in that.
That's well said, Todd. I appreciate that, man. You make a great point too, because we obviously looked up to Uncle Michael and learned a lot from him. So, you know, and he was a very sensitive person, especially when people were going through pain and struggle and hurt, and grief. So, I thought that was very profound.
Yeah.
Okay, going back to the article, one's assumption may also lead them to believe specific rules are at play about how to grieve. For example, a person may assume based on what they've seen on television or been told that the standard way to grieve is to express emotions and talk about their feelings. Of course, the idea that there is a right, quote unquote, right way to cope is a grief myth. But someone who doesn't know this may assume they must talk it out and ignore other grief coping outlets that are a better fit or feel beyond help when they don't want to go to therapy or a support group. I think this is a very important concept because we are a perfect case of this. We didn't go to therapy. We didn't go to a support group. We had an amazing set of friends and family that were there for us. But we all kind of, when I say we all, the three of us, we grieved differently when we lost our mother. There's different things that helped each of us get through this scenario. And I think that's a very important because I think the concept, before you experience a significant grief, I think the idea is that there's a route that you take. You know, it's like, okay, so what's the playbook? What do I need to do to get through this? It finally happened to me. But there really is no playbook. And there's many different avenues and twists and turns you can take to help you get through that situation. For me, I've always said my dog was a huge part of it. I'm sure me playing sports and staying active helped a lot. And my friend groups, of course. And that may be indifferent than what Taj experienced. So maybe Taj's growth came more in the latter years, because as a big brother, he felt like he had to be more protective and more for there for us than for himself. So the point I'm making is everyone's journey on this grief world or grief adventure is going to be unique and different. And one of the biggest mistakes we can make is assume that there's a carbon copy. What's this phrase?
Carbon cut out or carbon copy? I mean, carbon copy is not the word. Why would you put me out?
It is a carbon copy. It's just
there is a carbon copy. Maybe it's not the word carbon.
All right. Well, I'm tired, but you all get what I'm trying to say. There's no one size fits all. Let's just go there. Taj, anything you want to say on that? Cookie cutter. There we go. Yeah. I'm on a diet, so that's. Thank you. Okay. Carbon coffee cookie. We got it from the community. So there you go. But Taj, anything you want to add to that or say?
No, it goes one step further of what we were just talking about in general. You really, there is no playbook, rule book. That's why I said try all different things in terms of all different styles and people, because you really don't know where it's going to come from in terms of your where you gel. Just like we learned from our shows, you have to try different therapists and find the right person in that way. Don't just say, it didn't work for me. I found a therapist and it didn't work out. There's going to be someone that you gel with in that way. And I think that's the thing with grief, is it could be a book, it could be a movie, it could be a song, it could be a friend. For me, it was, Heather was extremely important, someone that I wasn't even really close with back then, but because we shared a common thing, we got close in that way, and she kind of helped navigate me in that way through grief. Someone that you never would expect, so that's great. the kind of stuff. So it's just, the journey is different for everyone.
Well said, Taj. The logical next question is, how do you ensure that your assumptions about grief aren't causing you to put undue pressure on yourself or boxing you into rigid ways of responding and coping? The first and simplest thing a person can do is learn what is and is not true about grief. The team at What's Your Grief have actually written a few articles about grief myths and truths that you may find helpful. They can be accessed on their website, whatsyourgrief.com, and include titles such as 64 Myths About Grief That Just Need to Stop, The Myth of the Grief Timeline, Grief Never Ends and That's Okay, Grief Emotions Aren't Good or Bad, They Just Are, I Don't Want to Talk About It, Coping with Grief Without Saying a Word, Why Do People Think We Move On After a Death? And after, let me get some visuals up for those who may be watching and not necessarily listening on a podcast. Now you have a visual up for What's Your Grief. But after reading helpful articles such as these and learning about grief myths and truths, perhaps you should take a little time to examine the assumptions you've likely internalized and brought with you into the experience, because there can be a disconnect between knowledge and our deepest beliefs. For example, someone can intellectually know that there isn't a timeline to grief, but still feel embarrassed or wrong when they go through a difficult grief patch years later. Here are some questions to ask yourself. How do your pre-existing assumptions about grief impact you? Or you can ask yourself, which assumptions serve you and which do not? What myths and assumptions do you fear are most ingrained in you? Which myths feel the most challenging for you to shake? What's new information about grief and life after loss do you want to integrate into your understanding and keep at the forefront of your mind? Finally, when you notice a grief myth or assumption coming up to make you feel like you're doing things all wrong, author Eleanor Haley wants you to say, nope, I'm not having it. Picture yourself opening a window or open an actual window and throw the assumption out. Permanently file this belief under things you used to believe, but now you know better. And the next time you hear someone saying something to the contrary, share your experience so they might form their own assumptions a little differently. Super helpful stuff. And again, obviously you guys know who watch or listen to us regularly. You know that we usually have a guest on here, but every now and then, well, I should say it this way. Our goal at DDJF is to really just get the conversation going, to bring resources to you, and to help you, any one of you, go through and get through what it is you are going through. And that is why we wanted to highlight What's Your Grief and all the articles they provide. Let me see. There's a couple of super chats that I want to highlight. And this one's from Miss Silent Siren. This is a super chat. She says, my parents just told me not to make myself sick with grief, that things will happen and just handle it responsibly. Taj, please remove the hat before Bami has a stroke. Much love. Taj is...
I will eventually this... if we call seasons of our show, the hat will be removed at one point or another. Don't worry. Not ready. I see the comments of it. Don't think
That's funny. He's seen all the comments. His hair is just not ready to shine yet. Right, Taj?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. You know, and Miss Silent Siren, Tiffany, this is my look. You won't find someone who loves, appreciates, and respects elders more than me and tradition. I believe in it. I know our parents, our grandparents, our uncles, aunts want the best for us. Just sometimes from what they've learned, they may have, you know, we're all learning and evolving and growing, and where it was common to say, like, you know, stop crying or you got to toughen up. We thought we were helping us when we were saying those things, but we've learned that that could be actually more harmful. Mm-hmm. With that said, the one thing I will say to anyone who may feel like they were misguided, I'm not saying you're feeling this way, Tiffany, but just understand, come from a place of understanding from what they may have been told or what they had to go through. And now that you are equipped with this new information, that remember, even if this information was around, the fact that you're able to watch this on your computer screen or on your telephone, a device called a cell phone, or listen to it with AirPods, you got to understand that that's a privilege that our aunt, our uncles, parents, grandparents didn't have when they were giving us this advice. So their ability to learn and understand all this new important stuff wasn't as great and open as ours is. So come, make sure to return that love and understanding for that maybe misdirection. Yeah. Again, not saying that's your case, Tiffany, but I think that's just an important concept for all of us to understand. You know, it doesn't feel good to hurt and to be in pain. And sometimes we can, in my opinion, overblame someone who had good intentions, just didn't have a clue on how to show you those good intentions.
Yeah. And you got to know the difference. I mean, sometimes, you know, there are people that just have bad intentions, but there are people that try to have good intentions and it just doesn't come out right, or they don't know how to express it in that way.
Was it? Were you done, Taj? I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I was going to highlight something from someone in that way that I wanted to kind of read.
Read it out, Taj.
You want me to read it?
You know how to read, right? I mean, this is a revelation, right?
I'm confused, dude. Okay.
All right, you want me to? I'll read it if you want.
Yeah, it'd be better if you read it.
Okay. I only said that to Taj because I know he also has some eye issues.
Thank you, TJ Jackson.
I no worries. Do you even have your contacts in? Wait, no. you got the LASIK, but it's been a while, right?
Yeah, I didn't qualify for the second time around because it was real quick and either or, like either I was going to see really well far up or really bad, you know, like I couldn't do that to myself. I was like, I'll stay with where I'm at.
All right. Yeah, well, I got you, Taj. Yeah. Stacy says, hi from Jeffersonville, Indiana. I lost my cousin and his mother, who I was caregiving for, passed away a month apart. My doing well, it was hard seeing her and her, My doing well, it was hard seeing her in her bed and already passed away when I got home from work. It's odd losing them so quickly. Yeah. Stacy, first of all, sending you love, light, compassion, hugs, all of that stuff from not only us, not only our family, but the foundation and the whole entire community. It's never easy, and everyone's story is different and unique. I can't say here, I know what you're experiencing, what you're going through. Only you know what that is like to lose two family members so quickly, and the way and manner of how it happened. The only thing I can just suggest is for you to continue to not bottle those emotions up. Like I said earlier, for me, it was a dog. Maybe yourself just going on runs or walks and just letting yourself heal. But please respect the importance of letting yourself heal. I've never had to find someone past, which isn't an easy concept at all. It may happen, it may not, but that's something that is unique and different, and something that to me requires you to make sure you're doing things slowly and at your pace and what feels right for you.
Yeah, it's a different category. And I can say, not any equivalent, but when Happy passed, I won't forget that image, because everyone was at a Dodger game except me, and I was looking for my dog, and I pulled it from out of under my mom's bed, and it was already dead. And that image and that sight and that scream that I had, because it scared me and shocked me. Like, I'm still traumatized to this day. And, you know, that's over, 40 years ago.
Tosh, how old were you when that happened?
Probably 12, 13. 15 or 16. Because Rascal was afterwards in that way. But that was, that's how traumatizing it is when you don't even remember the age of when, you know, it happened. Because it was Delgado, for sure. I know that, TJ. So that would put it probably in the 15, 16, 17 age.
That's a different layer. That's a different level of grief, too.
I mean, you know, obviously it's a dog, and it's not a parent or a. For me, that was
your life.
Yeah, that was my life. Yeah,
that was your dog. You've had him for, you know, years.
And I found Happy. I was alone when I found Happy. It wasn't like everyone else at the Dodger game. So it was like, but that also, we had discussed that too. Losing an animal or a pet helps you prepare in some way sometimes to grief, because it's a loss, and it's a huge loss for you, where you might not have lost someone else for a decade later or decades later. But, you know, unfortunately, animals and pets don't live forever.
Yeah. Barbara says, I have a very good one for you too. My two great grandchildren asked me this past weekend, how did their great uncle Kurt go to heaven? Boy, that was a hard one to avoid telling them how he died. They wanted to know how he died. Barbara goes on to say, I told them we had to talk with their daddy first to see what he wanted to tell them. Mm-hmm. This is to respect my grandson's wishes of what he wants them to know of how and what my son died from. Mm. My grandson wanted to tell them at their age yet, so we just told them that my son was a super great person, that they would have loved him. Mm. First of all, again, Barbara, sending our loves to you and condolences. And I know this wasn't a reason. I believe this wasn't a recent passing, but that doesn't mean you don't need love and condolences and well thoughts. We all do. With that said, I like to commend you on how you handled this. We never know when we're going to get asked these kind of questions, especially from two young kids. And I think the way you handled it was spot on, and was respectful and was the right way to do it. So I'm happy that you slowed the situation down and conversed with another important adult in the conversation, and you guys decided whether it was one leading the other, but you guys came to an agreement together. And I think that's a very important thing to do. The only kind of caveat, or the only thing, which again, I'm not accusing you, I got to just be careful. I'm one of those who likes to go through all the
strong words like accuse and I prepare. Yeah, I don't. I know what you mean. I'm your brother. I know what you mean.
The only thing I want to say is for anyone going forward, we also don't want, and I don't think Barbara did this. I think Barbara did an amazing job. I really, from the way she explained that, I think she did. But for anyone out there who's learning, we have to also still encourage our young ones to be able to ask those kind of questions and to be open without thinking they talked on a taboo subject, or because we want them to come to us as family when they have those kind of questions, instead of going online and, you know, and learning about things in that way. It's important that it comes from a source of love. So again, no accusations. Sorry, shouldn't have used that word. No, you know what I'm trying to say. I just want, for anyone out there who's like, if I get asked that question, just please also be mindful of how sometimes challenging it is for a young one to ask that question to you and how sensitive they are. Mm-hmm. And as Carrie goes on to say, I'm very sensitive and I've stopped trying to suppress that. We all show up and go through things in our own way. Mm-hmm. Obviously two different conversations, but the point of why I wanted to bring Carrie's comment is because she's very sensitive. So if someone like Carrie asks that question and feels like it's a burden or she did something wrong by asking it, she may never ask that question again or a question like it again, which isn't the healthiest way on how to deal with it. So I know that was a bunch of talking, and I don't know if it landed for some of you.
But Barbara responded. She said, TJ, I understand for sure. We told them we will let them know when they get a little older.
Nice. And Todd, you
read that so easily.
Like, yeah, you sure did. But Taj, here's my.
Yeah.
First of all, can you highlight that?
Yeah.
I can't find that. There you go. Thank you, Taj. TJ, I understand for sure. We told them we will tell them when they. I love that. Yeah. And I think that's the. I really do. I think that's great. You know, if they're too young, they're too young. But like you said, we'll tell you. We don't want to hide anything for you, but we'll wait. And I think kids can respond very well to that because kids know that they don't know everything and don't need to know everything at, you know, right as now. They get to their teens, they may get a little bit more adventurous, but little kids are pretty respectful of what they're allowed to do, what they're not. Like Rhea was telling me about this movie called Freddy Five, whatever. I never heard of it. And I guess a friend of his he told Rhea he should go see it. And I never heard of it. So I asked one of Rio's cousins, like, what is this movie? It looks like a horror movie. And she's like, it is a horror movie. And I said, Rio, you're not watching that. And he just said, okay. And then turned the channel, you know? And it's just, I don't know. I just think it's important to have those conversations and be completely honest and open. I think it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
A couple more comments. I want to... my healing in times of pain often come from encouraging those who've had it. Yeah.
I like that too. Yeah.
Adrian says, my dog Spencer died last month. I got him after Hurricane Katrina. He was 17 years old. I really miss him. Dogs are beautiful.
Dogs are beautiful. Eventually one day I'll get a dog again. I know TJ, you did Chewy and all that stuff.
Yeah. It took me a while though, Taj, you know, and it's so interesting because I lost my long loved dog who I actually named my first publishing company after and who I credit with getting me through playing a big role in getting me through the loss of my mother. When I lost him, her actually,
you made me question. I'm like, wait a minute.
When I lost her, it's true. It took me, and I love dogs, but it took me a long time to get a dog. And I wasn't even looking for my current dog. Lexi was just like, no, my younger siblings need a dog. So there you go. And if you guys really don't want them, then I'll take them. But dogs and pets are so big. They're so big for being there for our kids and youth and our family. But also, they oftentimes are our first big lesson and teachers, you know. So I saw some people talk about losing cats, too. I think Toria was there who said it, and maybe someone else. I can't find those comments now. But Taj, there's one more comment I want to highlight, and I'm going to read it and let you answer, and then we'll close out the show. But April says, TJ and Taj, what is your thoughts on touching or kissing a loved one who passed? I touched my aunt and my grandmother when I went to their wake.
Ooh, that's a good question. To be completely honest with you, with both my mom and my uncle, we didn't see them afterwards, purposely for me. I didn't want to see them like that in general. That changed with my grandfather, Joe. We were able to see him during the funeral. It was an open casket. And I always feared that. I always feared what that would be in that way. But with him, it was interesting. It was not anything scary or whatever. And I was happy that it was that way. Being able to say goodbye to someone that was one of the rocks of this family and such a strength and mammoth thing of why we're where we are at in this family, and that the counterbalance, I should say. But yeah, I don't think, I would say that would be, this is me personally, touching and kissing would, like, that doesn't seem weird or anything to me in that way.
I think it's a personal choice. Yeah. It's a personal thing. And Taj, I think I'm on the same course as you, where I didn't see Mom or Uncle Michael, but I did see Grandpa and I saw Clyde. Yeah. And, I'm actually at peace and happy with those decisions. And I think it's a case by case type of situation. I think Grandpa was the easiest one. He lived a long, fruitful life, and it was more of a pay respect and appreciation and say your goodbyes to someone that meant a lot to you and impacted your life. Whereas when it's a younger person, the sadness can be too much. For me, it would probably be, because I feel like they had so much to go, and the loss becomes a different type of a loss, in my opinion. Obviously the loss is a loss, but it's a different vibe on the funeral. And like I said, with Grandpa, it was more paying our respects and everyone was saying goodbye and celebrate.
I think I did, to answer your question, April, I do remember touching Grandpa just, in some way or another when we walked by in that way. It wasn't just walking by him in that way, whether it was his shoulder or something. I do remember touching him in that way. So
I love that question though, April. And thanks for asking, because those are the kind of questions people would want to know and just be open about it. I love that. Bami with the super chat. Thank you, Bami. Bami says, my dogs helped a lot when I went to Nigeria for my grandpa's funeral. It was a rough week and helped a lot with my feelings, petting them all week. Dogs are the best. Yeah, I will always say dogs are the best. Okay, Taj, let's wrap up this show, but also let's land the plane, as they say. Article is called How Pre-Existing Grief Assumptions Can Make Grief Worse. It's by Eleanor Haley. Mm-hmm. Again, What's Your Grief is the website where you can find all these type of articles. But the one thing I will want to close the show out is by saying we hope you did find the article helpful and that we've given you some good food for thought regarding pre-existing notions about grief and how to combat them. Again, you can read this article at the link in the show notes and or visit whatsyourgrief.com to read more helpful articles on the topic of loss and grief. Please remember, you are never alone on this journey, and each person's experience in grief is as unique as their fingerprint. So be gentle with yourself as you navigate your grief journey. Taj, anything else we need to say before we say goodbye?
No, I mean, I do enjoy these solo and duo or whatever we want to call these two, because we get to talk about a topic and we get to kind of talk more and all that. It's a nice balance and or counterbalance, when we have an expert on as well, something like that. So it's cool to throw these in that way too. But yeah, I enjoy talking to you is what I want to say.
Yeah. To me, right?
Yeah.
Okay, to make sure you're not talking about the audience out there.
Yeah.
The Power of Love Show, that is the name of this show. Please make sure to go check out ddjf.org. Any type of support, even if it's not financial, just sharing about our foundation goes a long way. So again, if you're listening to us,
sharing helps a lot.
It helps a lot. Not only us, but it helps those who may be looking for it. If one more thing I was going to say, dang it, I can't remember. Taj cut me off.
Yeah, I did cut you off. You didn't have that much of a train of thought.
Oh, I know what I say. If you listen to us on a podcast and enjoyed it, or even on Facebook and YouTube, make sure to like. But if you're listening to on a podcast, make sure to subscribe. And if you can, leave a review, because it does help those who may be looking for this kind of content. It helps them find it. All right, everyone. Again, be gentle with yourself as you navigate your grief journey. Please, please, please. We will see you all next week, next Wednesday at 1 p.m. with an all-new live episode of The Power of Love Show. Please be safe and adios, everyone. Bye.